Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled Spiritual Authority in Times of Crisis. Times of crisis reveal who people truly are and what they believe and value. Crises are God-given times for the promotion of those who have faith in Christ and revelation from the Spirit, and the exposure of those who operate by human reasoning alone or from previously disguised corrupt motives. The American Revolution had such an effect upon the people who lived in the colonies, and we are in such a crisis today. It is estimated that only 3% of the American populace actually fought to win our liberties. More broadly, those who identified themselves as patriots were likely 40 to 55% of the population. Loyalists comprised another 15 to 25%, while 30 to 45% remained uncommitted. In my own family, my fifth great-grandfather, Jeffrey Beck Jr., fought with Patriot Militia in North Carolina, but my sixth great-grandfather, his dad, Jeffrey Beck Sr., remained a loyalist who supported the crown by allowing Tory military leader David Fanning to use his ford over Deep River. We cannot know people's hearts or motives. Perhaps he had no choice in the matter. To his credit, my sixth great-grandfather fought with the Regulators at the Battle of Alamance in 1771 against government corruption. So he was not a coward. He took an oath of allegiance to King George in the aftermath of that failed cause and remained loyal to his oath for the rest of his life. He raised his minor children, who were still living in the home during the Revolution, to be loyalists, which caused family discord over the years. My point is that the American Revolution was a type of civil war that pitted neighbors and family members against one another, depending on where they came down on the issues according to their convictions. Everyone had to choose where they stood on the matter, and it was costly, sometimes even fatal. When the war ended, patriots were rewarded with undying appreciation and honor for their willingness to put everything on the line for the fledgling nation. Loyalists suffered the consequences of their choice, too, and the uncommitted were likely held in some measure of contempt by those who risked everything in the courage of their convictions. The uncommitted hedged their bets, hoping to come out well no matter which side won. Jesus had something to say about such an uncommitted position in Matthew 16, 24 through 25. I read from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Peter Block, in his book entitled The Answer to How is Yes, makes the point that we should not do things based on being able to figure out ahead of time if we're able to accomplish them. Rather, we should do the right thing, no matter what the cost, trusting that God will show us how to proceed once we begin. Faith launches out in seemingly impossible circumstances because it is the right thing to do, regardless of the potential pitfalls or dangers. Those who fought as patriots took on impossible odds because they believed it was the right thing to do. Those who remained loyal to Britain probably also believed it was the right thing to do. And those who were the odds makers back then would have bet on Britain being the victor. Those who refused to commit to either side either had conscientious objections, did not understand what was at stake, Or maybe we're simply afraid to pay the cost of making a stand. The current election crisis is producing just such a scenario. We're in the midst of an attempted takeover of our nation by communist and globalist forces, and it is time for patriots to make a stand. Many are already standing with our president against seemingly insurmountable odds. Sadly, others are avowed supporters of the coup attempt, either as knowledgeable leftists or as what the communists call useful idiots, who have no idea what they're doing. A far greater number of people are either apathetic, confused, misinformed, or afraid to make a stand. What if I'm wrong? Once this crisis has been resolved, there will be a reckoning and a reward, depending on who wins. God is revealing hearts in politics, families, and in the church. Nothing will be the same after this is over. I have friends who justified maintaining a neutral attitude toward this conflict by proposing that it is more important to focus on the Lordship of Christ and the priority of the gospel. They seem to be overly concerned that any involvement in politics is putting a false hope in a human being instead of trusting in God. This translates into refusing to publicly support Donald and passively accepting whatever happens in the election, even if it is a fraudulent steal. In my opinion, this may be a misguided form which thinks that politics is dirty and anti-God and should be avoided. By holding this position, it reveals that they have accepted the left's doctrine of the separation of church and state and have become irrelevant in practical matters. Another, less likely possibility is that this is nothing but well-articulated cowardice. If I knew an evil man had determined to kidnap, rape, and enslave my wife, you would think me a coward if I did not defend her with my life. If I told you that I was not going to get involved because I wanted to make sure that I kept my eyes on Jesus rather than place my hopes on keeping my wife, you would rightly lose respect for me. Although this is an imperfect analogy, in a similar way, forces are at work in our nation right now that are making a determined attempt to capture America and transform her into a socialist, globalist hellhole, stripping her citizens of their God-given rights and freedoms, and destroying what our forefathers fought to create and preserve. Those who maintain neutrality in such a time as this either do not understand what is happening, do not care, are too proud to admit they are wrong, or are afraid to make a stand. That is harsh, but I think it's accurate. When Paul traveled to Rome in Acts 27 to appear before Caesar, the Roman centurion who was in charge of the expedition made a poor choice to set sail too late in the year, even though Paul warned him that it would lead to disaster. Paul had no authority to make decisions. He was a prisoner. He could only appeal to the person who did. His appeal was denied. Interestingly, the only person who had heard God speak regarding the matter was Paul. Everyone else was operating merely by their human reasoning, not knowing that a crisis in the form of a storm would soon expose the poverty of their understanding. When the storm enveloped the ship, which carried over 200 people, the Bible says that over time, everyone abandoned hope of surviving. Everyone, that is, except Paul. Here is what Acts records. And I read from Acts 27, 21 through 26, again from the New Living Translation. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" God told Paul what would happen, which gave him insight and authority to know what to do in the crisis. In their hopelessness, confusion, and fear, the centurion, crew, and passengers put their hope in Paul's words and the revelation God had given him. In times of crisis, those who hear God and operate in wisdom and faith are elevated into leadership. Because the centurion had the wisdom and humility to listen to Paul, everyone on the ship was saved. The crisis elevated Paul to a position of authority because in that moment, his faith and ability to hear God provided everyone with hope and direction. He alone had something worthwhile to say. It is no different today. Lots of people are saying lots of things about the current election crisis. Most of it is mindless blather and worthless to those who need to know what God says and what he wants us to do. We should be listening to those who have heard God and have faith. They are the ones, the only ones, who have spiritual authority and something to say. When King Jehoshaphat led the army of Israel into battle against seemingly insurmountable odds, here is what he told them. "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in the prophets, and you will succeed." That's 2 Chronicles 20:20 from the New Living Translation. We are in just such a time now. It is vital for us to believe the prophets. And the ones that I trust are saying that we should keep believing that God will pull this out for President Trump, because much bigger things are at stake here than who is our next president. It is not a Republican-Democrat thing. It is a kingdom of God. Our constitutional form of government may not survive under a democratic presidency. Our freedoms may become a thing of the past. America's call and destiny to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations could be thwarted. I believe that God still has plans for our nation, despite our many sins. If we will turn to him in repentance and faith, he will forgive us, save us, and give us a glorious restart as a nation. If we lose this battle, we will enter a very dark time. Jesus said in Luke 24:25, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." I issue a call to the body of Christ today. Step out of the gray shadow land of neutrality. Be either hot or cold, not lukewarm. If God has not spoken to your heart about the election, listen to those who have heard God. God is raising up prophetic leaders to help us through this crisis. Let us not miss this opportunity to be more than sunshine patriots. Let us be those who risk it all because it is the right thing to do. May God help us and grant us mercy. Amen.